I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 22, starting at verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments."
This is me looking for our speaker. David, where are you? So I'm really pleased to introduce David, who for some reason is clunging a spongy football. It may become clear in a minute. David is visiting us this weekend with his wife Christine. They've been married for 25 years and have three sons. 30 years.
I've made five longer than that.
Well done. You're looking so good on it. So I'll probably get all of the rest of this wrong, but David is Chief Operating Officer of an organisation called Computers for Africa, which, as I understand it, doesn't recycle but wipes clean and then takes computers out to schools in Africa so that kids out there have access to IT. Prior to that, he worked in a range of roles, but at director level at DHL, most recently in HR, my favourite discipline. But we're really pleased that David's here this morning to talk with us. He and Christina are associated with SOZO as well, and they've been helping us in a variety of ways as a church in that ministry. So we're really looking forward to hearing what you have to say, David. Welcome. Be free.
It's always a good idea to applaud before the speaker, because afterwards, I need to use one of these because I can't stand in one place. So, is that right? You are spoiled for musicians, you know that, don't you? Really, really are. That's awesome. Thanks, Ray. I'm going to cause chaos here, I'm sorry. Shall we see if this magic piece of technology still works? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay. Hi, my name's David. I've been married to Christine Pop 30 years. She gets all the credit for making it that far in. We've been back in this area with some of you guys. This is our kind of second visit. We were here September-ish last year, and Christine was running a two-day training, and we've been here for the last couple of days. But it's the first time we stood in this room before these wonderful people. So thank you. It's embarrassing when that happens. It's even worse if your phone goes off during the sermon. So now's a good time to check. Yes, fast. We had some awesome things when you read scripture earlier. And we heard about God's grace. And God has put his sins from us as far as the east is from the west. So let's assume, and thank you for finding the ball for me. Let's assume that this is planet Earth. Yeah? And this bit on top is the North Pole. This bit on the bottom is the South Pole. Okay? Cardiff is about here. I looked it up. I Googled during worship. Please don't tell. Our young people at church tell me that playing on their phones helps them concentrate during the sermon. I mean, please, do me a favour. Anyway, that's what I was doing on my phone during worship. And The neat thing is that, and I checked it, the distance between Cardiff and the North Pole is just over 2,600 miles. Distance from the North Pole to the South Pole is about 12,500 miles. Where is he going with this? Don't look so worried, Simon. It's going to be all right. Had your sins been placed as far as the north is from the south, there comes a point where if you're at the North Pole and you travel south, there comes a point after about 12,500 miles where you start traveling north again. And if your sins were as far as the north is from the south, it's about 12,500 miles, then you will reach them again. But if your sins were as far as the east is from the west, you can travel west forever and never start going east. See, you can start in the North Pole and travel south, and eventually you'll be going north again. But you can travel infinitely east and never reach west. And you can travel infinitely west and never reach east. But there's a finite distance between north and south. And God bless him, a man who thought the earth was flat. The guy who wrote that probably thought the earth was flat. Yeah, by revelation, said that your sins are as far as the east is from the west. Your sins are infinitely distant from you. You can chase them forever and not catch them. That's outrageously good. God is that good. Psalm 23 says that goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. That would be all the days, not just the good days. That would be all the days, not just the bad days. Yeah. All the days of your life, goodness and mercy follow you wherever you go. Yeah. Goodness and mercy follow you because they clean up sometimes the mess we leave behind us. Mercy does that. Mercy forgives us for our mistakes. So wherever you go and whatever mistake you make, mercy follows close behind. He goes, mercy, mercy, mercy. Yeah, and then goodness follows close behind, which goes, I really should be suffering for my sins. Till you remember that biblically Jesus did all the suffering for your sins. And his goodness chases you. So you need to know that his goodness and mercy are stalking you, and there is nothing you can do about it. Yeah? That wherever you go, whatever you do, they're going to catch you. The gospel is that good. God is that good. So who's ever heard a sermon before on the two greatest commandments? Come on, it's one of the most preached about. Nobody's ever heard a sermon like it before. Come on, I have heard scores of sermons about that scripture. And so this morning, I want to drive a little bit of a bus through some of our historical understanding of that scripture. Okay? And there will come a point in the sermon where the deep theologians among you will start to feel worried. Okay? I promise you. Stick with me till the end. Yeah? When you'll be able to breathe a sigh of relief. Okay? Are we all fairly familiar with the idea that God speaks today? Yeah? Prophetically? In preaching, in sermons, in counsel and advice, in wisdom, but particularly prophetically. Yeah? And prophecy is simply God saying how he feels and what he thinks and what he intends to happen in a certain situation. Yeah? Old covenant prophecy looks very different from new covenant prophecy because they're under different covenants. So new covenant prophecy comes to edify, exhort and encourage. Okay? So if it's all right, we're going to pick a couple of people out in a minute and prophesy over you publicly. You need to know that will be a good thing. All right? That will not be, I see the sin in your life. Hands up all the people who know what the sin in their life is. Okay, you do not need a prophet to turn up and tell you what it is, do you? No, you don't. So that's not what we're going to do. Do you want to do something? This is my wife, Christine.
I've got the mic, so I can do what I like now. No, I just want to say I've been here since Thursday. Thank you, Sarah, for your hospitality, and Simon and Karen. And so I came to sit in on some Zozos, and I've spoken to Simon. I'm very happy to say that Sarah's is released from my point of view to start training a team, and I just want to honour and thank all those lovely people that came and had a Zozo, and it was a privilege to be part of your journey to getting closer to God. I'm one of two UK directors for Bethel Zozo, so I get to travel around the country visiting all sorts of different churches and meeting amazing folks like you guys. I've got two words, and during worship, oh, by the way, if you saw me at the back, I was taking a photo If you object, I won't. But because we have a Zozo Facebook page, so it's just a way of connecting the Zozo community with what's going on around the UK. So that's why I was up the back taking a photo. During worship, God started talking to me about lemons. Lemons? Because most people think, oh, sour. And God just reminded me of a couple of things. You know, a good way to clean a microwave is to put a piece of lemon or half a lemon in some water and stick it in the microwave. Just turn the microwave on and it cleans it. And many moons ago, when I had quite a major operation, my consultant told me the best exercise that I could ever do was have hot water and lemon first thing in the morning, because it gets your body sort of going. And I just stood at the back and I said, Lord, why are you talking to me about lemons? And I just feel that as a church, you are called to be lemons. And think about all the uses of lemons. Okay, God wants to use you guys to get alongside folks to help clean them up. Lemons are used, say, to get the body going. God wants to use you guys to get alongside people, to get them going in their callings and their destinies, to walk alongside people, encourage them to find out what God's got for them, and then help them find that you know, that thing for them. Lemons are put in drinks and food because they're a good flavour. You have a good flavour. You add something to the people that you are added to the people that come alongside you. So lemons aren't supposed to be thought of as something horrible or sour. And I tried to Google as well at the back, but my iPad wouldn't connect to the internet. So, you know, just, you know, if you're interested, Google the uses of lemons and just ask Father God, well, how can I be a lemon of Eden Church, you know, and, you know, what do you want for me to do? And the thing about standing at the back, because when you're standing at the front, it's very difficult to get a word for someone because all you're doing is looking at the wall. So that's why David and I were at the back. And the gentleman, yes, right at the end row. And I felt Father God say to me, for you, and you are free to reject this, okay? Because, you know, but I just sense that Father spoke to me about the story of when Esther went in and the king extended his scepter. And I get quite emotional when I feel Father's heart for people. And I felt Father God say, tell him that I'm extending my scepter to him. And Papa says, you are welcome to come right up close and personal to him anytime you want to. Esther, by being extended that scepter, was granted enormous favour by the king. And Father God wants you to know you have favour with him. He wants you to come up close, talk to him, sit in his council, because he wants to tell you things. And you have more influence than you realise. Yeah, you have more influence than you realise. Father just is so longing to get close to you. He says, come on, son, it's time to come up really close, because I've got things to say to you and things for you to do.
You can't turn up somewhere and tell them they're all lemons. And mind. Okay, did I pick up the children are coming back at some point before midday? Yes. Do I need to make space for them before midday to do stuff? Or? Okay, all right. Okay, if you need me to stop, you just need to look bored. Okay, whatever, I'll fit in. Right, okay. I'm going to fly through a few of these slides. I want to talk about New Covenant love, and particularly with reference to that verse. I'm going to fly through the first couple of slides. We do understand that we live under a New Covenant, not an Old Covenant. Now, I know you know that. I don't think any of us are sacrificing animals in the back garden, okay? If you are, stop. It's bad, okay? So none of us are doing that. But the heart of the Old Covenant is that our relationship with God all depended on what we did. It's on my effort, my energy. I had to pay for my sin. I had to go sacrifice. You know, I had a whole bunch of rules to keep, a lot more than 10. Okay, I struggled with the 10, let alone the several hundred that got added to it. Okay, it's all about what we did. Calvary, everything changed. Yeah, we moved from one way of relating to God to another way of relating to God. So Jesus really, really did pay the price for all of our sin. Yeah. Now, we get that theoretically, don't we? Oh, please say yes, otherwise it's a really bad talk church. Okay? But most of us still feel we ought to suffer a little bit after our sins. Yeah? We put ourselves into some kind of self-imposed purgatory. You know, like, time heals. No, it doesn't. Jesus heals. Yeah? So everything changed at Calvary. How we related to God changed, how God related to us changed, and how we relate to each other changed. So, try not to pay too much attention to these first few slides. Dum, 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 dum. Oh, it's going to work. Tell me it's going to work. So, okay. Under the new covenant, Scripture clearly tells us that mercy triumphs over judgment, that sins will no longer be remembered. It says this, the old covenant is obsolete. Now, the interesting thing is that I'll come back to that. That under the new covenant, yeah, very often people think that mercy, grace, and forgiveness is like a lowering of the standards. Yeah? But it's not. Under the new covenant, the standards are always higher than the old covenant. Okay, so the trouble is we look at the old covenant, it looks harsh, it looks severe, it looks judgmental. We look at the new covenant, it's full of grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Yeah. And we make the mistake that one is easy, one is hard. It's not true. The standards under the new covenant are always higher. So, old covenant, you mustn't commit adultery. Okay? That's an important standard, isn't it? Yes. New covenant, higher standard. Don't think about, meditate, or contemplate adultery. Yeah? So, under the old covenant, you could think about it as long as you didn't do it. Under the new covenant, God is not concerned with external compliance. He's concerned with the heart attitude. He's not interested in modifying behavior. He's interested in changing you from the inside out. Yeah. So under the new covenant, the standards are higher. So here's the challenge. We're familiar. We had this earlier. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Is anybody in the room managing to love God all the time with all their heart, all their soul, and all their mind? Because if you are, the microphone's yours. Yeah? I managed it once for a few minutes. Yeah? But that's a really difficult standard, isn't it? And the second commandment is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We've been taught to do that, haven't we? Here's the question that's going to worry the theologians. Is that old covenant or new covenant teaching? It's old covenant. It's as valid as go sacrifice animals for your sins, which was old covenant. This is old covenant teaching. Prove it. Well, the bit before says, teacher, Jesus, the question Jesus is answering is, which are the greatest commandments under the law? That's the question he's answering. Under the old covenant, which are the two greatest commandments? And the answer is, love the Lord your God, da, 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 love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus says, on these two commandments depend the whole of the law and the prophets. This is old covenant standards and teaching and instruction. It's as valid as sacrifice animals for your sins. So that means we don't have to love God and we don't have to love our neighbor. Well, the first one's dangerous, the second one's a whole lot easier, isn't it? Regrettably, or fortunately, the standard of the new covenant is always higher than the old. So if this is old covenant, what's the new covenant instruction to us as Christians? Let's look at some scriptures. Loving God. Loving God is a really good idea. Okay? Because who knows, we become like what we love. Yeah, what we give our heart, mind and affections to, we start to become like. So loving God's a really good idea. I'm going to fly through these. You'll recognise this from what I've said. Okay. This is a bit slow. Okay. Please notice that the answer to that question, yeah, was all about how well you love God. The emphasis again is on you, your effort, your energy, how well you're doing. And if that becomes the measure of our relationship with God, when you're doing well and you feel like you love him a lot, you're really close. And when you do badly and the devil whispers in your ear, if you really loved God, you wouldn't do that. Yeah, your relationship starts to suffer. And even the love you have for other people is you-centered. It's quite self-centered. Why? Because how do you love people under that old covenant? You love people like you love yourself. Yeah? New covenant. New covenant is what God is all about, what God has initiated, Jesus' sacrifice. It's all about what he has done. It's worth noting that John tells us that God is love. Do you understand? God isn't just loving, he is love. All love emanates from God. If God didn't exist, there couldn't be love in creation. He is the source of love. Why do we love God? Scripture tells us that. We love God because, anybody got the Bible verse? Because he first loved us. 1 John 4:1. That's really interesting. Because if the thing that stirs your love for God is the fact that he loves you, how do you love him better? Well, you do what started your love in the first place. You receive, believe, rely on, and have confidence in his love for you. As you receive his love, your love for him will grow. So the initiative shifts from the old commandment of you have to do really well to you have to receive his love, because it's his love for you that triggers your love response to him. See, our love for God is a response to his love. It's not an attempt to win his love. Also, the new covenant redefines love. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. That's the definition of love under a new covenant. Love is defined not anymore by how well you love God, which is a good thing, because some days you love him a lot, and some days you're not sure he exists. And if he does, why does that happen? Yeah, we all go through that. Here it is, love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us. See, the emphasis under the whole new covenant shifts from how well we're loving God to how much God loves us. Well, not so much how much God loves us, but how much we believe he loves us, how much we receive that love, how much we rely on that love, and how much confidence we put in that love. Because in the difficult times, where are you going to put your confidence? In the fact that you're loving God and feeling really good about it, or the fact that he loves you? It's where will you put your confidence? See, there's still love in the transaction, but under the new covenant, it's a higher standard than the old covenant. And we access it and trigger it differently. So where will you put your confidence? Will you put your confidence in your love for him, or will you put your confidence in his love for you? That's the challenge. Every time it's about love, every time it's about how you're feeling, you rekindle your love for God by recalling and remembering his goodness and his mercy and his love towards us. So it's about knowing how much he loves us. It's about knowing we are loved by him. It's about enjoying his love. It's about trusting his love. It's about experiencing more of his love. John the Beloved. Yeah? Which gospel tells us John was John the Beloved? John's gospel tells us that John was the Beloved. Yeah, I mean, it's like me standing in the room and going, I am the most loved person in the room. It sounds phenomenally arrogant, doesn't it? I mean, Matthew, Mark and Luke aren't going around saying, John's the one Jesus really loved. John's the one Jesus really loved. John's the one going around, I'm the favourite one. Yeah? Who wouldn't be irritated by that? Yeah, you go to home group, cell group, whatever groups you have, small group life you have, yeah, and every week, yeah, there's some cocky, arrogant twit in the corner going, because I'm the favourite this week. Yeah. So here's my question. Do I really think that Jesus loved John more than all the others? I'm not sure I do believe that. Yeah. What I do believe is that John was more confident in Jesus' love for him than the others were. John believed it more. John was just utterly convinced how much Jesus loved him. Yeah? I don't think it's a matter that Jesus kind of, John's my favourite and you guys, I just need you to make up the numbers. Yeah, that's not how it works. Yeah? So those of you who've been told that Jesus has favourites, go, yes he does, and look in the mirror. Go, why not? Yeah, can God have more than one favourite? Yes he can. You know, I am phenomenally obsessed with my children, yeah? And I didn't think I'd love anybody that much until my granddaughter was born 3 weeks ago. And somebody said to me, is it like when you had children? I went, it's better, but don't tell my children, yeah? It's like, it just gets bigger. You know, the more you experience it, I mean, I'm obsessed with that girl, and she has done absolutely nothing other than breathe, cry, feed, and poop, yeah? And I'm obsessed with her, aren't I? Yeah, it irritates my son, but I don't care. I'm going to continue to love on her. See, John's gospel tells us that John's his favourite. And we just increasingly need a fresh revelation, a fresh encounter with the love of God. Yeah. And when you do that, you see, it doesn't make you kind of soppy and wet. Okay, men, this isn't about kind of, you know, laying on a pillow and thinking of butterflies in heaven. Okay, there is a place, by the way, for laying on a pillow and meditating on heaven. But this is a strong thing, yeah? When you get this into your life, this transforms the way you relate to God, and it transforms the way you relate to other people. And it gives you a confidence that others do not have. When you really, really get just how much God loves you, it'll do something to you on the inside, yeah? Well, let's see what it did for John. John 13 is the story of the Last Supper. See? Now, everybody knows that John is just utterly confident in Jesus and his love for him. John is so confident he kind of slops himself all over Jesus. I mean, the Son of God, and, you know, John's using him like a pillow. Yeah? John feels that safe and that secure. And all the others know that John has the confidence to ask Jesus the secret, difficult questions. Yeah. So I think Jesus would have answered anybody who asked him. But they knew John had the confidence. Not confidence in himself, not confidence in how well he was doing, but confident in Jesus' love for him. So all the others are going, John, you can ask him. You can ask him. See, this kind of understanding of God's love and commitment for you will give you courage, faith, and confidence to ask God the difficult questions, knowing that he doesn't withhold his secrets from his friends. The other interesting time with John, is it going to go? Press the button. John 19 at Calvary. John's the only one at the cross. Men, we ran away. It was the women and John. Yeah? They were there. When you realize how committed he is to you, it will stir up such commitment in you that you'll be there at the hardest possible times. You'll be there at the dangerous times. This love, John the Beloved, wasn't the wet, soppy one. He wasn't the one who floated around, you know, waving a flag or a banner. Yeah, and there's a place for waving flags and banners. Yeah, John was there at Calvary, the most dangerous place. Yeah. Peter, who are, you know, the man's man, was not around. Now, Peter had his mission and his destiny. But it's when you realize how much he loves you, it stirs such love in you, it will also bring you a courage. When you realize his love, it makes you courageous in a way that others aren't. The other time was at resurrection. It was John. If you read this story sometime, it's really wonderful because afraid the ladies are there first again, men. Okay. But two of the disciples run to the tomb. And in John's story, John's one of them, and the other guy's in front of him. And John just tells it like this. He says, the disciple that Jesus loved outran the other one. Yeah. It wasn't like I ran faster. It was the disciple that Jesus loved. I outran him. Yeah. And gets there first. Who knows that when you realize just how much God loves you, yeah, it will make you chase after him wherever you hear about him. Wherever you think there's an opportunity or a glimpse of encountering God, whether that's on your own in the quiet place, whether it's in a meeting with others, yeah, wherever you think you can find him, you'll chase after him. Love will do that for you. Love will so transform your heart. But it all hinges on knowing how much he loves you. Because if you think it's all about how much you love him, yeah, people run away and hide. How am I doing? We're doing great. How do you like to be loved? See, my wife has a love language. Are you familiar with the concept of love languages? Are you familiar? There's a brilliant, brilliant book. And the theory, the teaching the book gives you, I'm not even sure it's a Christian book, is it? It is a Christian book. I knew that. And I bring her so she puts me right. What he argues is that all of us like to be loved and appreciated in different ways. Yeah, that there are things that just build us up and affirm us, yeah, and there are some things that excite other people and don't love us. You familiar with that concept? Yeah. So do you know what the five love languages in the book are?
I'll probably forget. Words of affirmation, touch, quality time, gifts, and acts of service. David's are touch and words of affirmation. Gifts and words of affirmation.
Okay, regrettably, my wife's love language is gifts. Because words are cheap. Actually, no, they're not. They often cost me a great deal. You know, so gifts are nice, but, you know, and I'll take them and they're great, but they don't do for me what they do for Christine. So if she looks at me as, what can I do to encourage David on a difficult day? Buying me a gift won't do it. I'll go, oh, that's nice. Tell me it's still rubbish. Yeah, I buy her a gift, you know, and life's a whole lot better. Yeah, you're familiar with that, okay? I mean, the trouble is when we expect other people to be excited by the same things as us. Do you remember the old covenant instruction was, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. Part of the challenge is not all of us love ourselves all the time. In fact, quite a lot of the time, some of us really don't love ourselves. And even when we do, we love ourselves with the things that make us feel good. And if I love you like I love myself, all you're going to get from me is kind of words of affirmation, you know, and a bit of a hug. Yeah? When that may not work for you. So what happens is I just end up loving people who are like me. Yeah? And that's easier, isn't it? Who finds it easier to love people like them? People who like the same things, do the same things, you know, have the same interests. That's okay. And that was the old covenant one. We love people like we love ourselves. But even that is very you-centered. That's why Jesus had to teach, a new commandment I give unto you. So he said it's new. This was the old one, love your neighbor like yourself. Jesus went, new covenant I'm giving. Because the question he was asked was, what's the important one under the law? And he answered that question. Love your neighbor as yourself. But there came a point where he said to his disciples, I'm giving you a new commandment because the old one isn't valid anymore. There's a new commandment about love. And you've got it already in the scripture, haven't you? A new commandment I give unto you that you love one another as I have loved you. The standard is always higher under the new covenant. Now, I don't just get to love you like I love me. I get to love you like Jesus loves me, unconditionally, personally, universally. Yeah? Now I get to love people that I don't get on with. Now I get to love people that think different to me. Now I get to love people that have different interests to me and different hobbies. Now I get to love on people like they need to be loved on, not like I need to be loved on. I don't think about myself when I think about loving you. I think about you when I think about loving you. It's a higher standard. And it's utterly impossible unless you know how much God loves you. We have to get that in the right order. Yeah, the love of God comes first and the love of our neighbour comes second. Because if we haven't got the love of God, we're going to kill our neighbour one day. Aren't we? Yeah, let alone our wives. I've never thought of doing that, dear. Okay? It stays in that order. But it's a new covenant. And it brings great confidence knowing how much we are loved. Yeah? It brings inner transformation. And just like John, it brings courage in difficult times. It prompts us to chase after him when everybody else thinks it's dead and buried and God's not in it anymore. Where's God? I don't know, but if I get a hint of him, I'm going to chase and find him. This is what John did at the tomb. It transforms us. And that's really what I want to leave you with, to be honest. The new covenant is unbelievably good. It's really good news. People, cynics will tell you, if it's too good to be true, it's probably not true. Yeah? Well, Paul went through this in Romans. Grace is too good to be true, but it remains true. Your sins are that far apart from you. You are going to be stalked by goodness and mercy the rest of your life. You cannot get away. It runs faster than you and it doesn't give up. Yeah? It cleans up everything and brings his goodness into your world. There are children staring at me through the window. If I wave, will they wave back? Oh, she's hidden. Awesome. Should we invite them back in? I'd like to prophesy over a couple more people. Yeah? But I want to honour you and finish at midday, but we'd like to prophesy over some more people. Is that okay? Okay. Yeah, do you need to do something with them or before I prophesy? But I'm really happy that the children come in. And And children will be less polite than adults. They'll be a bit noisier. They're not being bad. They're just being children. And that doesn't put me off. Okay? Who knows that Jesus loved children? And the one time the disciples turned up and went, oh, the children are spoiling things, it didn't go down very well. Yeah, don't you keep the kids away from me. Don't you do that. Are there littler children coming back as well, or just the bigger children? Are there more? There are more. Shall I just carry on? Yeah? Is that all right? Okay. Because I want to prophesy over at least one person who went out with the children. Okay. Christy and I have this thing about when we like to pick people out and prophesy, we tend not to go for the front row. Yeah, because they're an easy target. We tend not to go to the worship band for an easy target. We like to look into the back of the room and into the corners. The trouble when you do that is sometimes we get the same person. And that's exactly what happened this morning. So where's the guy who's probably not even listening to me? What's your name?
Tom.
Hello, Tom. Stand up, dude. Are you married?
I am married.
Yeah, was that your wife? She ran away. She's okay. All right. Do me a favour. A couple of you stand with Tom and just rest your hands on him. It's very biblical to lay our hands on each other. Is that all right? And this isn't the province of leaders. This is the province of anybody who loves him, knows him, or is nearby. And if nobody loves him, do it out of a sense of responsibility. Be a lemon. I'd love to. Okay. All right, Tom. Bearing in mind what Christine said, fortunately, do me a favour. Shut your eyes for me. Okay. The reason I ask you to shut your eyes is I want you to connect more with heaven than you connect with me. Yeah? Because when I've gone, heaven will still be here. So you need to connect with heaven. And there's a grace on you to find a new expression of what engaging with God looks like for this emerging generation. Yeah? And you've been very influenced, I don't know if it's family or whatever, but you're very influenced by particular models of church and how people connect with God and engage with God. Yeah? And it's all been good and appropriate. But it's a new season and there are new models and new ways. Yeah? And God's going to give you creative ideas, yeah, that are true to history,
true to Scripture and relevant to a different generation. Yeah, this generation, this emerging generation, is no longer satisfied to sit and listen to someone like me for 30 minutes. They want to get up, do something, and they really want to change the world. Yeah, and there's a grace on you to make ways for that to happen. And you've always been somebody who has done things ahead of your time, almost sometimes too quickly. There's a piece of, and people are kind of, you know, don't be too ambitious, don't be too pushy. But God says, no, there's a grace on you from heaven to do things in a way that looks premature to others but isn't. So don't be held back by caution pretending to be wisdom. Don't be held back by fear pretending to be experience. Okay? Draw on wisdom, draw on experience, and then run hard after everything God puts in your heart. Yeah. Yeah. Have you got children? No, not yet. Okay, that's all right. I'll prophesy over them when they appear. Okay, is that all right? Okay, dude, thanks. That was great. Okay. Is it all right if we do this a bit more? Okay. If you want to do something, you need to tell me, because I'm not discerning enough to see you at the back of my head. Okay. That's awesome. Okay. This is where you get people, I'm not going to look at him. But you see, I got these words half an hour ago, right? So it's too late. You are undone, okay? And listen, if when we do this, you kind of, don't you dare do that to me, you are free to choose, okay? Because I don't get to turn up and do stuff to you, yeah? You are free and all growed up, and you can go, no, I didn't like your sermon, I'm not having your word. You can go, can we do this in private? Or you can go, hit me now. Okay? Is this all right? So, what's your name? You've avoided looking at me for the past 5 minutes. Do you mind standing up? Oh, he's making me stand up. Oh, Jesus, it's not fair. What's your name? Izzy. Hello, Izzy. Are these your friends? You have no friends. These are your friends. Okay, do you want to stand with... If you know Izzy, do you want to stand with her and rest your hands on her shoulder? Oh, he's made me stand up as well. Go on, get your paws on, Izzy. Do you want to shut your eyes for me, Izzy? It's going to be all right. Okay, this is one of those weird ones for me, because you've been on my radar all morning and been asking God why, and he won't tell me yet. So he better say something soon, or this is going to be really embarrassing. Okay, can I take your hand? Is that all right? Shut your eyes, just put your hand out like that. Is that okay? All right. Okay. That's helpful. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. These are really important years for you. Yeah. You've always grown up with a sense of bigness and a sense of destiny. There's always been this kind of conflict going in your head about, you know, big but, you know, impressive but, awesome but. There's always been a but. And you need to know that these are really important years, because it's like this is the time when you put down roots. This is the time when you put down roots of friendship with people you can trust. It's a time when you put your roots down into God and you get to know him and the different ways he speaks and moves and does things. And this is important, because there's coming a time when, and that's kind of below the surface, you understand that? But there's coming a time when what you do publicly and who you are publicly and the profile you have will literally kind of explode. It's really strange. It's like I see a firework, yeah, that goes bang, yeah. But you know the stuff that comes out of a firework and explodes? As it appears, it becomes a tree. It's kind of really odd and weird, yeah. But it's full of color and it's full of diversity, and you're not to be black and white, yeah. But the life it has will depend on what you put down in this season. Yeah? The life here. But when it explodes, when it happens, don't be afraid of it. Yeah? The dreams you've had in your heart, put your hand on your heart for me. Yeah. All the dreams are secrets. All the things you've not dared tell anybody else that have been tucked away in here by heaven, have a day. Have a day to appear. Have a day to materialize. God says, you can't make it happen, but when it does, don't be afraid of it. When it does, don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. Is that all right? Was that as bad as you thought it was going to be? Do you want to sit down now? Yes, I do. Thanks, Izzy. Is that all right? You okay, Christine? Okay. I want to prophesy over one more person. Okay. There's a family at the back. Okay. And the dear lady kneeling on the floor who just went, oh no, with her face. Okay. I've been waiting for you to come back. Okay. Have you just observed what's been happening? You know what's happening. Are you okay with that, or do you want to rush off and hide in the toilet? Is that okay? Do you mind standing up for us? What's your name? Kate. Hello, Kate. Is this your family? Some of it. Awesome. Okay. People who know and love Kate, do you want, are you okay if people come and rest their paws on you? Yeah? On you? Okay. So somebody go and love on Kate. I don't need to record this.